Omaha Public Radio presents another program from Film Streams, Omaha's nonprofit cinema on Noon Forum. We'll hear a panel discussion which followed a screening of the 2009 American documentary film Taquacor, The Birth of Punk Islam, directed by Omar Majid. The documentary, 3 years in the making, follows the progression of the Muslim punk scene. The word Taquacor is a combination of hardcore, a genre of punk music, and taqwa, an Arabic word that translates as piety or God-fearing. The first to use the term was writer, journalist, and Muslim convert Michael Muhammad Knight. His novel, The Taquacor, about a group of young Islamic punk rockers, received a storm of recognition among young American Muslims and prompted the formation of various Muslim punk bands. This program, co-sponsored by Project Interfaith, was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Tuesday evening, November 30, 2010, for broadcast at this time. The opinions expressed are those of the panelists and do not necessarily represent those of Film Streams, KIOS-FM, or the Omaha Public School District. Here now to introduce the panel is our moderator, Beth Katz, Executive Director of Project Interfaith.
Thanks, everyone, for staying after. What'd you think of the film? Yeah? Well, we wanted to have some time to just kind of have a little conversation about this film. I don't know about you, but it definitely, the first time that we saw it, we were like, wow, there's a lot to talk about from that film. So it's interesting. A couple of us have seen this film more than once, and I would invite you to see it one more time. It's sort of a different experience when you see it a couple times. Anyways, at least from a couple of our perspectives. So I'm Beth Katz. I'm the executive director of Project Interfaith, and we have a couple people with us to begin the conversation, but we don't want it to just be a conversation among four people. We actually want to open it up to all of you and have a brief dialogue about some of the different themes that this film raised. But to get the conversation to kick it off, we have on our panel here Kale Sagir, who is our Project Interfaith board member and has been involved with the Islamic Speakers Bureau of Nebraska and is an educator in the community. And now joining her on her right side is Nishad Qureshi. He's also on the Project Interfaith board and is a board member at the Islamic Center of Omaha, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just one. I resigned.
Oh, okay. Well, was a past board member of the Islamic Center of Omaha. And we have Dr. Bridget Bloomfield. She is an associate professor of Islamic Studies at UNO, and she also is the head of the Islamic Studies program at UNO, so we're grateful that she could join us. And then we have Yasmin Farhat, who is a student at UNO and involved with the Muslim Student Association there. So to get the conversation started, I just thought I'd pose a couple questions to our panelists, and then we'll open it up and invite you to participate in the conversation. Before we get started, a couple minor things. Hopefully everyone received the ground rules that we use at Project Interfaith anytime we have some sort of community conversation. Just help structure our conversation to make sure that they are indeed conversations and not debates or arguments. As sometimes they can be. So just wanted to make sure that everyone had a chance to look at those. We have two people with mics, Emily and Tom. And so after we hear from our panelists, we'll open it up for you guys. And I just ask that you step to the edge of the row, and Tom or Emily will join you with a microphone. We want to give a chance for as many people to participate in this as possible, so please limit your comments to no more than 2 minutes if possible. So, okay, on that end, I wanted to kind of pose a question to any of our panelists who might be interested in responding to it. I thought that this was sort of an interesting film because one of the things that Michael Muhammad Knight draws a parallel between in the film is punk rock and Muslims. And he says that he talks about how both tend to be viewed by outsiders as a really cohesive, unified group. But in his perspective, they're the total opposite from that. They're a very diverse bunch. And I just was curious if you would share from your different perspectives, has that been your experience, or is that your impression of how oftentimes Muslims are viewed by non-Muslims? How's that to kick it off?
You just asking anyone. Or just
Yasmin, it looks like you're about to dive in, so go ahead.
All right. Well, I spent a lot of time living overseas. I was recently in Dubai for the last 10 years of my life. And I think that when you're living in a Muslim country, it really allows you to see the diversity that really exists, because you've got Muslims from all over the world, and to try and lump an entire group of people together for any reason, any faith, or if you want to, like, a subculture, as they're talking about in the film, is completely ridiculous, because, I mean, as humans, we're totally individual, and even though we might share qualities together, Muslims identify with their faith very differently. I've met people who are very devout and practice, I mean, Islam is their entire lives, and that everything that they do, they tie back to their faith. And at the same time, I've met people who are moved by Islam, but maybe not the fundamentalist that we really think of. And I think that the media a lot of times portrays Muslims to always be fundamentalist, even though they're definitely not, as you can see in the film.
So any of you want to jump in? Kale?
Dive in. I've been a Muslim for 20 years, and as when I was, you know, I started when I was two, three. When I was younger and I was searching, I was acutely aware that that Islam was something they call orthopractic, you know, the right practice. And I was searching and asking a lot of different people, and I found very quickly when you ask different ethnicities, things changed. The answers would change, whether I would ask an Egyptian or a Pakistani or a Syrian, and I would find similarities and I would find differences. And it was then I realized, and one of the things I can identify, one that I can identify with the film is the identity. What exactly is Islam? And that's, and I found you have to kind of dig through what is cultural, what is religious, what is spiritual, what is practical. It's very different depending on, you know, who the Muslim is.
Nash or Bridget, anything to add?
Yeah, I think this movie brings up a lot of good points. It talks about, you may not have heard of this, but there's been the two shrines that were shown where people were dancing and all that. There were some very radical elements in Pakistan who actually bombed those two shrines. I mean, those are 1,600-old shrines. But just because of the activity that is going on, which they perceive as very un-Islamic, like smoking hashish and you know, just all sorts of other activities that are, you know, kind of come with it. So there is a struggle going on between the more radical versus what Michael is portraying in this, which is total, just break it down to what how it fits my life, you know. It's an idea that everyone, it's not just in Islam, but any other culture that you see, people are always trying to push the envelope and breaking the boundaries to fit, whether it's cultural or religious or whatever other boundaries that the society puts around you. They want to break it down, and that's exactly what this film was all about. As far as diversity goes, Pakistan is probably one of the most diverse Islamic state, because it has roots in the language that we speak comes from Persian, Arabic, parts of Latin, Sanskrit, even, you know, people speak in Afghanistan. So from the diversity point of view, Pakistan is probably the hub of different cultures, languages, and all sorts of societies that came together. I can further elaborate on that as, you know, more questions come up.
Bridget, is there anything you wanted to add to this part?
Well, I was just going to say, just here in Omaha, we have an incredibly diverse Muslim community. And I think one of the things that this film shows is what's called like the hybrid American Muslim, where the parents are from Pakistan or from Syria, and then the kids grow up in Southern California or they grow up in New York. So they're Pakistani Americans, they're Muslim Americans, and they have different behaviors. And they touched on this a little bit in the film, but I think it's especially I'm teaching a class this semester called Muslims in America, and about maybe a third of my students are Muslims. And when they speak in class and they talk about the frustrations of who they are and how they've become who they are with one set of rules that they do with their friends at school and then the behavior that you have in front of your grandmother. Like, we know the language that we use in front of our friends, but that's not a language that we would use in front of our grandmothers, whether we're Muslim or not. So I think this is a really important thing of how do any of us, whether we're young or whether we come from mixed cultures, or whether our home is far away or it's right here in Omaha, how do we construct who we are? And I think if you have any sort of religious bent, and if that's Islam, obviously, from this, that defines you in a sense, but only you can make in that choice the definition, because it's always trying to be imposed upon you who is more Muslim than you, or you hear this in the Christian community. Well, she says she's Christian, but, you know, so there's always this judgment from the outside, and I think that's what, you know, Michael Muhammad Knight is really pressing, is that we're defined from the inside, you know, whether, you know, as Muslims or as Americans or whatever, so.
Well, speaking of identity, I mean, I think that that is a huge part of this, and the fact that we all have a lot of different parts that make up who we are, and that sometimes those different parts kind of butt up against each other and don't fit neatly together. And I thought that it was interesting, because you heard a lot of the musicians talking about the different parts to them, whether it's being a musician, being a young adult, being a Muslim, being American, and trying to kind of bring all these pieces together. And I was just wondering for all of you, if you'd be willing to share it all a little bit about, could you relate to that? Was that something in the film that you had related to in any facet at any point in your life? I just think that that's something that I know that I, as a non-Muslim, saw that and could really identify with on a lot of different levels. And I think you just touched on it, Bridget, too, just the different pieces of who we are and how they all come together.
Well, one of the things, I'll be 60 in a few months. So when I was watching this, I was thinking a lot of the 60s. When we were rebelling against things and we were angry about stuff, and we really didn't even know what we were that angry or rebelling about, the those of us that were on the young end. But I think that this is part of this way of resisting authority and resisting imposition. When someone tries to impose political views on us that they say are right and that ours are wrong, or whether religion is being imposed. And you see in the film, even the Muslims, between the Muslims, are arguing about this. So in that sense, I could identify with being a young rebel, you know. In my sense, I think it was kind of without a cause, you know, but I think there is much more of a cause now for young Muslims to rebel, not just against American lifestyle, but also against this kind of what could be oppressive from their own families. And you would see that in any religious community where you want to, you know, make your own way. Outside of that, you know, it's more of a Woodstock generation than punk. So I don't know, maybe you could speak to that.
Well, I've spent a lot of time, obviously, interacting with the Muslim community, both here in Omaha and overseas. And I think that something you see a lot is people trying to sort of find a middle ground. I think we're all going through this, whether you're Muslim or you're not Muslim. You know, when you're young, you're sort of standing there and you've got two paths in front of you, and you've got, you know, what your parents have been drilling into you since you're 5 years old, and the morals and the ethics and all of that sort of stuff. And then you have sort of the life you could sort of see yourself living, another path that you could go down, which maybe your parents wouldn't be that crazy about. And I think this film is all about trying to connect both of those paths, trying to still hold on to what you've been taught your whole life, what your parents wanted, or, you know, the ethics that you consider important, whether they're from your religion or just something that you personally believe in. And I've known a lot of people like that, and I try to think that I try to combine the two. And it's difficult, and it's not always easy, but it's how we create who we are. And we're not just one path. We move back and forth. The artists were talking about it. I mean, sometimes we're religious, sometimes we're not. We all make mistakes. But it's all about creating yourself and creating your own identity. Identity isn't something other people give you. It's something that you create for yourself.
I agree with Yasmeen that these kids were, if we can call them that, were about more about creating their own identity versus creating good music. There was no good music as far as I'm concerned.
This is not a music appreciation class.
So I wanted to get it out.
Kelly, anything you wanted to add?
Well, I'm sure there's a proper name for this. I call it the pendulum effect. You know, I did it too, several times, matter of fact, where you go from one extreme to the other. You do a 180, and then you come back around, and then you come back around, and, you know, and eventually, hopefully, you know, you find that middle ground again. And this is the second time I've seen the film. The first time I just found it disturbing. And this time I found it funny. And so you really should see it again, because I came away with a completely different point of view this time. The first time I was just too in my face, and I was very disturbed by it. And this time I realized these kids are doing they're not exactly doing the pendulum effect. They're going to the opposite extreme, but they're not leaving their faith behind like I did several times. You know, if I couldn't believe it all, I wasn't going to believe any of it, and I would go the other way. And so they're you know, hanging on to what they grew up with, what they believe, and hopefully that'll get them back, I hope, to some sort of quieter middle ground, less destructive, personally, middle ground. I mean, they're kids. They're growing and they're learning, and I think the thing that disturbed me the most was that they had Islam in the title, you know, Muslim punk. And when I think of spirituality or religious, I don't think of being offensively in your face. I like peace and understanding and conversation. But this time around, I got a totally different point of, you know, totally different take from it.
Well, I think one of the things that I find particularly compelling in the film is I think you get to see Michael Muhammad Knight's, you can start to see sort of the arc of his own personal spiritual journey. And I think that, you know, you kind of get a glimpse at maybe where some of the other musicians might be heading after they have a little more time, a little more reflection, and maybe have processed their angst a little bit more. Not to diminish, you know, where they are and what they have to say in its own right. But I think it's really interesting just to watch. Even in the course of 3 years, it took 3 years to make this documentary, and I think you see him changing a bit and reflecting a little bit on even where he was at the beginning of the film. So I think that, you know, to speak to what Yasmeen and all of you have so eloquently pointed to, the fact that we all are working this out and sort of hashing out and trying to create and connect with who we are and really try to define it in our own terms rather than against other people's terms or by other people's terms. So I just want to give you an opportunity before we begin to open it up for comments and questions. Any other reactions to the film? What spoke to you? What did you take away from this?
Well, I thought they selectively took the fringes of what exists in the Pakistani culture as far as... like I mentioned earlier, you know, smoking hashish in a temple, you know, not a temple, it's like a shrine, and other people, you know, beating themselves, and it's like a Shia thing to do. I don't agree with it, but that is, you know, on the fringes of Islam itself, you know, majority of them are. I mean, they're not considered in the core of the belief. So they kind of visited those fringes, kind of stayed on the perimeter of from I should say faith or in this movie what was shown was more cultural than anything.
But I would just to add to that too, because we had just actually talked about Shia today and the Ahmadiyya, and that there are different groups within Islam that people that are not Muslim and even people that are Muslim don't recognize as being other Muslims. So if you have the whole spectrum of Islam, you have the whole spectrum like you have in Christianity, where there's Mormons and there's Baptists and there's Catholics and they're all Christians. And I thought that was really good that they showed in Pakistan the Sufis and the Shia, because it shows the diversity there. And like you say, all of those people, just like the punkers, are marginalized and kind of on the fringe of the real Islam that, you know, that everybody kind of...
She's using air quotes for those that might hear this in a later broadcast.
Sorry. Yeah. Because that's one of the things that we really look at in the class is, what is the real Islam? Well, there's no such thing. Just like, what is a Muslim personality? There's no such thing. I mean, it's just tremendously, phenomenally diverse. And it ultimately ends up in the inner experience of your relationship with Allah. I mean, that's, in the end, that's what it has to be for everybody, no matter what all the other stuff is. And to surrender to that. So...
Right, but I was referring more to what I meant to say was not on the fringes of Islam as such, but culturally on the fringes. But as a Muslim, no matter how diverse or you know culturally what your beliefs are and what mazhab that you belong to, like Shia or Sunnis and whatever else not. The core is still the Holy Quran. As long as you're following that to the letter, not, I shouldn't say to the letter, but for the core, if you're using that as your guidance, then that is, then you can live your life differently from any other person. But as long as your core is still there in the Quran, then you're considered in the mainstream of Islam. Some of the things like what was going on in the shrine is nowhere substantiated or supported by Quran or even the interpretations of the Quran. So that's what I meant. So.
Kael, any final thoughts or reactions before we open it up?
Just a quick one, because I was reminded of you know, when I was younger and going back and forth and trying to figure things out. I'm still trying to figure things out personally, but now that I have children of my own, I just realized how important it was to keep an open dialogue with my own children, because I think, you know, when you grow up with, this is how you do it, this is how you do it, and there's no deviation, you force your children to deviate. I think that was really deviating. I would be afraid if my children did that. I would worry if my kids were having Lassie laced with all that stuff. And you know, I would worry. And so I was just reminded, you know, in my own life, keep an open dialogue and talk about it, which I think is what we're trying to do as a community. Just to talk about, you know, what is it that we believe, what is it that I believe, and why? And why is it beneficial?
Yasmin, did you have any final thoughts?
Well, I guess just the movie was a little bit refreshing, I guess you could say, because at first there was sort of the initial shock that probably a few of the Muslims in the crowd could, like, get, because... You know, hearing the sort of things that they say, at first it catches you off guard, because people in the Muslim community generally don't talk like that. And if they hear you talk like that, they're going to smack you or, like, kick you out of their mosque or something. But, I mean, the point is just to, you know, broaden your horizons. And I think if that was the message of the movie, to see the diversity of people and that all Muslims aren't the same, just like all, you know, punk rockers aren't the same, all people aren't the same, then I think it was successful, and I really enjoyed it.
All right, well, let's open it up then to the rest of the audience. If people have comments or questions, if you could step to the aisle if you're not by there.
Hi, a quick comment and a question. So my comment was, I thought this movie was less about Islam and more about being a teenager, young adult, growing up, because I think, like you said before, you could do this with almost any religion or background, and most of these folks came from middle class, upper middle class background, but just were rebelling about what they grew up in. And of course, this was, if you did this as a Catholic community or an Amish, I think they've done that before, honestly. But that's just a little commentary. But my question was more about the role of women. I was really surprised to see the Chicago, when they had the musical performances, that they were shut down, not because of what they were saying, but because there was a woman performing. And also later on, the importance by the imam for having Michael's mother be Muslim. And if you could comment on that and maybe educate me at the same time on that. Thanks.
Thanks.
Women singing, women can of course sing, but I think ISNA has this policy, if the women are singing, only women should be listening. So they were just using their policy to the letter, I guess. As far as that imam talking about, I think he was just trying to make a conversation, because he didn't have really anything meaningful to say. He was just making short chit chat.
Yeah. So, but mothers are very important.
Yeah.
I mean, I just came from a wedding this weekend, and that's all the imam was talking about is heaven lies at your mother's feet,
right.
and mothers are very, very important role model and position in Islam. So moms are important, and you want your mom to be, go to heaven with you. So you need to get your mother saved.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Well put. Yeah.
Is there anything that anyone else wanted to add? I mean, I think that is a question, though, that it seems like comes up a lot. Is a question about the role of women in Islam, and maybe I'm curious if there are any of the women on the panel. I don't want to put you on the spot, but. No, I'm just curious, though, for those of you on the panel who would identify as Muslim, do you feel put in a box as a woman who is a Muslim, or do you just feel put in a box as a woman? Maybe it doesn't have anything to do with Islam or being Muslim. But we've been talking about kind of how there's been, I think part of what comes out in the film a lot is, again, this collapsing of identity that a lot of people, might characterize a Muslim in a very narrow way, and it seems like sometimes that seems to happen, particularly with women in Islam. I didn't know if anyone wanted to comment on that.
Well, I think it's much more of a cultural thing than anything else, because for every group of people say women's voices are haram and they shouldn't sing, there's somebody that there are women that sing that are Muslims, and I mean, all you have to do is go to any good Middle Eastern restaurant and watch what they're playing on the screen. All those women are Muslims that are dancing and singing. But on a religious level, I've participated with a group of Muslims for the past 40 years of my life, and a big part of the practice is singing. They're like ilahis, I guess. I don't know what they're like, a chant or a prayer, but they're a prayer that's put to music. And it was actually one of the things that drew me most to the study of Islam when I was a young person. And it was because it was a place where I could use my voice, because I love to sing. And I couldn't participate in any religion that wouldn't allow me to use my voice either to talk about things or to express beauty with my own voice and to sing that out from my heart. And that's a personal thing, but I think it's just really a cultural issue. I'm sure you guys would agree with that.
Yeah, and I guess to expand a little bit on what Bridget said, I think that a lot of the time sort of religion is sort of used to excuse certain methods, but that doesn't mean that it's actually in the faith. I'm going to be honest, I'm not an Islamic scholar, but I can tell you that, like Bridget said, the answers that you get from one group of people and another are completely different. So what some people will tell you is in the faith, other people won't. But I think that the roles of women is changing a lot now, and which is done in all religions. I mean, women over time in Christianity and in Judaism and all those different religions, women at one point or another had a very strict set of, you know, a lifestyle that they were supposed to follow. And I guess it's changing more and more now. I can see it. And I guess it's good. It's good for me, at least.
Absolutely. And I should just explicitly state that we invited people to be on the panel not to be as, you know, representing Muslims or Islam, but just to share their own personal perspectives. And that's what they're doing. So thank you. Any other questions or comments from audience members?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I actually saw this from the other viewpoint. I was punk rock in high school and agnostic, so no religion at all, really. But what I saw of the main character's journey was that he wasn't really so much oppressed by his mother, but he was searching for something that he could cling to. And the people in the punk rock community accepted him for however he was. Didn't really matter because he could be who he was and he could search for what he wanted to become, and they were good with that. And so everyone in that community was really, they're cohesive, but yet they're all individualistic. And you find that in just about any religion. So it does kind of compare punk to religion. Do you have any kind of thoughts on that? I mean, maybe, I know you're not experts on punk rock, but...
No, but that was very well said. That's exactly what I think when I'm hoping to keep an open dialogue with my children, and that's exactly why. I want them to find a place where they can be themselves and feel safe and explore safely.
I totally agree with you. I kind of felt during the movie that he was, looking through... through the glass, or glasses, I should say, of his past experience, as his father left him so much earlier. And I think what kept him close to the religion was his desire to not turn out to be like his father and do all the horrible things that he had done. But at the same time, kind of always kept that in mind. For example, when this kid in Lahore was saying, the kids are going to be from good families, he got enraged. And I knew exactly why he was being enraged. He was enraged because he looked at himself like, my father was a rapist. So what you're saying is, I'm not a good family. So, it was more personal nuances to it along the way that I kind of felt that I identified with as I was growing up. I actually still do.
Any other comments? Next question or comment?
My comment is along the lines of what I think everyone has said the major theme is, which is around identity and finding your identity. How does Project Interfaith help us locally, both as a community and individually, to express our authentic identity religiously, who we are?
Is that for me or the panel or both? I'll start that. Thank you, Patrick. But as we have a couple panelists who also happen to be Project Interfaith board members, I'm happy to allow them to also take that question.
No, you go for it.
Well, I think that what we're really trying to do with Project Interfaith is to, we see ourselves connecting to this broader movement that is really trying to create spaces for people to be who they are. And but we can't be who we are if we don't, and we can't all be part of a in a community together and have a healthy functioning community if we don't have the space to really explore ourselves and each other in real ways, you know. And that means having great conversations where we can agree and feel good about it. And that also means having some more difficult conversations where maybe we don't agree, but we really are able to hear each other. Because I think that sometimes the challenge is, you know, first of all, we're all really busy and it's really easy to hear sound bites and to kind of accept that as, well, that's got to be the way because I don't have time to get out and check it elsewhere. And so part of what we at Project Deer and Faith want to do is help people connect very easily with helpful information and resources and people so that you can hear firsthand from people who are part of these different groups, part of these different identities, including identities that you may connect with, about what it means to be that and to see that it's not collapsible into an easy little category, even though I know sometimes it'd be a heck of a lot easier if it was. And I think part of it, too, is creating spaces for people to have really meaningful interactions is what we're trying to do, and recognizing that for a lot of people, that takes a lot of different forms, and that the traditional idea of having a dialogue, sitting in a circle, talking about who you are is good, and it's important. That's one way that we can do it, but it doesn't have to stop there. There's lots of other ways that we can be exploring and that we need to be exploring who we are as individuals, as a community, and that can take the form of, you know, using the arts. That's why our partnership with Film Streams has been so wonderful, having films like this that kind of become a catalyst for a conversation is really important, but also using the arts as a form of expressing who we are is really important. And I think that giving people different options and different opportunities in the community is part of what we're trying to do, and making it as easy and accessible for people to participate is part of our mission and our goal in the community, because we're all really busy. We all have a lot of things competing for our time and energy, but this is so important to understand who we are and what we believe. That shapes so much of how we understand our world and how we interact with each other, that if we don't make time for that, we're doing a disservice not just to ourselves, but to our communities and to our children. So we're just trying to make it really easy for people to take the time. And I think that it's very powerful to tell your story, and it's very powerful to have someone hear your story. And to be able to hear someone else's story and find connection is transformative. And we don't get a chance to do it enough. And so that's part of what motivates us with our work. And we've been seeing that, especially with this Community Mosaic video project. I mean, I can tell you firsthand, if you talk to our interviewers that are actually out there taking these interviews, ask them about what it's like. Ask them if they haven't been transformed, even the littlest bit, by hearing someone share in a really upfront, intimate way who they are, and ask people who've been interviewed if it doesn't feel pretty amazing. And I know this because we all had to be interviewed. we made everybody do this on staff before we went out to the community and asked other community members to do it. It's pretty powerful, and it's pretty amazing to have to really think about who am I and how do I express that. So anybody else want to chime in?
Yeah, I think identity is important, and religion, and especially Islam, I think I can say for other religions as well, religion plays a big role in defining your identity and who you are. So when we say identity, I mean, I was thinking, what are you talking about? That is Islam, you know. And for Muslims, Islam is their identity. So that's why I, you know, kind of understood that movie a little better. I know where he was coming from. It's almost interchangeable.
Well, just real quick, I think Project Interfaith helped me officially change the question. You know, I've lived overseas and I've worked overseas, and the question has always been to me, what are you? You know, and that either meant what my job was, what my nationality was, or what my religion was. And now the question has become, who are you? You know, who are you? Who am I? I like that question much better. I find it much easier to answer, strangely enough, because when you say, oh, I'm a teacher, I'm a Muslim, I'm American, people go, oh, got it. Well, no, you don't, not really. I mean, I'd like to think I'm a little bit deeper than that. There's a little bit more to me than that, because I think when you say I'm an American or I'm a Muslim or I'm a teacher, well, you know,
teachers but people have preconceived notions of what that means. So when you change the question to who are you, it just opens it up to mutual understanding, and then you can't, you know, I think we fear what we don't understand, and if you know somebody who is a Buddhist or a Muslim or a Canadian, then you're less likely to fear or be suspicious or be uncomfortable.
All right. Great question. Thanks, Patrick. Does anyone else have any questions or comments? We have just a couple minutes left. So,
Thank you for taking my question. I must disagree with the notion that we can decide what we are, and that if people misunderstand us within that characterization, then it's really their lack of insight, and they should broaden their mind. You would say that, or I should say rather, I'm not following the rules. I'm very excited.
Thank you.
the idea that, you know, identity can be self-sustained and self-created, I think, is not true. Insofar as within the film, the problem that the characters other than Michael have is they are Muslim. They're born Muslim. They have Muslim families, Muslim traditions, Muslim mayors of cities. And that punk is a way out of that, is a detour from that. And so my broad question would be, to what extent do we fail to recognize what punk is or what Islam is if we discredit any mere characterizations as misunderstandings? And as one more question, it would be, is the film the introduction of Islam into punk or vice versa? Or can you do both? As far as I understand, punk is a way to be anti-something, anti-establishment, anti-authority, whereas Islam is not that. It is the authority. It's God's authority. It's the authority of a cultural tradition, and I don't see how the two can combine in a way that makes sense. Thank you.
That's a good question.
Very good.
Well, we have 3 minutes to answer that. Who would like to take that one? It was a great, great question. Thanks for offering it up.
I agree with your comment there that, yeah, for Islam, especially, since I'm a Muslim, I can speak for Islam only. I'm not going to try and answer for other religions. You're right. Like I mentioned earlier, the core is the Quran, and if you stay within that, and you live your life, no matter what culture you adopt, you're still a Muslim. So anything anti-status quo or anti-Quran, I should say, would be considered. I also can agree with your sentiment there when I said there are certain groups that would try and adopt the religion to their needs so they are satisfied in their mind. And that should not be the case, and that's where they get wrong. They get on the wrong path. They can't just adopt whatever their lifestyle, or they cannot put a religion and superimpose it on their lifestyle and say, okay, this is whatever I do is good. It's fine. Everything else has no value. So yeah, I kind of agree with you on certain things there.
Yeah. I agree with you also that our identities are constructed by our families, by our culture, and then by our own choice. But I think that there are Muslims that would say that the basis of Islam is not the Quran, that is a part of what it is to be Muslim, but that it's a worldview. In the same way that there are many Christians that say only the Bible is, the only thing that you can follow, and there are many Christians that say no. The Bible is part of what it is to be a Christian, but it's not. So I think even that you'll see disagreements and But I think, too, I think the most important thing from my perspective about Islam and what drew me to study it for so long and so intensely is this concept. I apologize to my students. It's the concept of adab, which is this good behavior, and like in Buddhism it would be loving kindness, but it's who we are. And in that sense, we do construct our identity. We choose our behavior, we choose our kind words, we choose our charity. And that, in when you can construct your identity in that way, and you can use Islam to do that, for me personally, that's been incredibly meaningful, more than the Quran.
This would be a different discussion for another day.
Exactly. Next week.
Great. We'll continue. Yasmin, did you want to say something?
Yeah, just quickly. I would agree that to an extent we are defined by, you know, how we were raised and our parents. But also I do think that punk in Islam, in a way that people can merge what sort of little subculture, American subculture that they want to be in, and their faith as well. I think that it just sort of depends on if punk is anti something, that something doesn't have to be religion. You can be anti, you saw in the film, anti-authority. They had all these different things going on. But then at the core, they still held on to, you know, their faith in God. So, I mean, like we said, like, people aren't just black and white. You aren't just Muslim. So I don't know. To some extent, I would say that you can view different. You view different. Sorry, you're sort of viewing different things in a completely different way. You know, because the way you view your government isn't the same way that you view your God. I guess that's what I got.
Kale, did you have any final?
No, I think I just reiterate that I felt the same way you did the first time I saw the film. I was offended when he stepped on the flag. I didn't like the language. You know, I just felt like a prude. I felt old, and I felt, you know, I sat like this a lot, and I thought, oh God, people are, you know, going to see this, and they're going to think that this is Islam. That's what I thought. And I thought, oh God, we don't want to get that opinion out there. Then I saw it tonight, and I took something completely different away, is that this really isn't about them trying to become good Muslims, so to speak, or even to twist the faith into being what they want it to be. They're just kids trying to find acceptance, trying to find their way, trying to figure it out, and hopefully by hanging on to a little bit of something, they'll swing back on the pendulum. And they're young. And I'm not, and so I know they will. I know that they'll come back around at some point, at some level, and then what they have found will become them.
Once again, for those listening, actually, young is a relative term. I would think there's many that would argue actually that Kale's not that long in the tooth.
I'm not in my 20s anymore. Let's just put it that way.
Well, we unfortunately have to wrap up this stage of the conversation. I know that this usually happens just when it gets good, right? But the best part is that you can continue the conversation. So we invite you to continue with your friends, continue it on Facebook with us, continue it online, and hopefully continue it when you come to our next program. So I want to thank, again, FilmStreams for partnering with us on this great program. I want to thank our panelists. I want to thank KOS as well for recording this so you can tune in and hear. If you forgot or want to reference or just revisit this program tonight, you can certainly hear it coming up in the near future. And I invite you to join us at other Project Interfaith programs. Thanks so much. Have a great night.
You've been listening to a discussion on Noon Forum, which followed a screening of the 2009 American documentary film Taqwa Core, The Birth of Punk Islam, directed by Omar Majid. The event took place at FilmStreams, Omaha's nonprofit cinema. This program, co-sponsored by Project Interfaith, was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Tuesday evening, November 30th, 2010, for broadcast at this time. The members of the panel included Kale Sagir, Project Interfaith board member, Nashad Qureshi, also a board member of Project Interfaith, Bridget Bloomfield, Associate Professor of Islamic Studies at the University of Nebraska at Omaha, and Yasmin Farhat, a member of the Muslim Student Association at UNO. The moderator was Beth Katz, Executive Director of Project Interfaith. Special thanks to Rachel Jacobson and Jim Foyt of FilmStreams, as well as Emily Muskin and Tom Laird of Project Interfaith for helping to make the recording and broadcast of this program possible. Two events of interest coming up. On Sunday, February 20th at 6:30 p.m. at the Holland Performing Arts Center, FilmStreams will present Feature 3, An Evening with Director Steven Soderbergh. Information is available at filmstreams.org. The next Project Interfaith program will be Tuesday, March 15th at 7 p.m. at the UNO Thompson Alumni Center. The guest speaker will be Sumi London Kim, chaplain for the Buddhist community at Duke University. Her topic will be Blue Jean Buddha, Tracing the Generations of Buddhism in America. Information about this event is available at projectinterfaithusa.org. Complete Noon Forum listings, as well as an archive of previous broadcasts, are available on our website, kios.org. Now, this is your producer and host, Bob Cote, thanking you for listening.